In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We initiate our conversation always by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles, among which would be Mary is the Mother of God, Mary is the Mother of the Church, Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray the beautiful prayer at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to be with us, to pray with us, to pray for us, and to motivate us so that we can love Christ more and more, and arrive at the purpose of our life, which is to get to heaven. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is known also as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier, He who makes us holy. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. He's the one that will give us the best advice. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, He's there to help us. Holy Spirit is also our interior master or teacher. St. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us so as to enlighten our intellect and ignite within our hearts the fire of divine love, as we say the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint John of the Cross, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. So, my friends, as always, as we start out our family conversation, to give you encouragement. I will be praying for you in the greatest of all prayers. That prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So when I offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'll be placing you on the altar. That's right, I'll place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There's no prayer on earth which unites us with heaven, more sublime, more efficacious, more pleasing to God than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We should be eternally grateful that we're Catholics because we have the holy sacrifice of the Mass to help us to live holy lives and help us to get to heaven. So I'd like to offer these intentions. First intention I'd like to offer will be that all of us would make a real effort today and always to be open to the Holy Spirit. To be open to the Holy Spirit. That's right. To be open to the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification depends in large part upon our being open to the Holy Spirit. We might even say during the course of this day, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray that all of us as adults, as priests, as parents would try to help our children to get to heaven. That means as parents, as fathers and mothers and even grandparents, it's incumbent upon us to be the primary teachers of our children. In a few days, in many places, school will be starting the end of August. You as parents have to be the first teachers of your children. You have to be the first teachers, forming the character, forming the intellectual life, forming the moral life, forming the spiritual life of your children. It's incumbent upon you to take your responsibility as teachers very seriously. Very seriously. So do your part. And one of the reasons why we come together every day is that we can grow together to get to know God better so that we can also be teachers, better teachers of others. My last intention will be to place on the altar our pro-life commitment, that every human life is sacred from the very moment of conception until natural death. Human life is sacred. Human life is sacred. So let us do all we possibly can to raise the standard of life. Thanks be to God, I heard another state, Idaho, has prohibited abortion. Thanks be to God. There are states that are intervening as a result of Roe versus Wade and because of prayer to ban the sin of abortion. But the work is not over. Let's pray, offer up sacrifices, and speak out to defend human life, because we have to be the voice of that child. The Silent Scream, that movie from Dr. Bernard Nathanson, is very important. Very important. All right, my friends. Today, I'd like to introduce our topic today by inviting all of you to honor in a special way today good Saint Joseph. Thanks be to God that Pope Francis proclaimed a year in honor of Saint Joseph. Father Donald Calloway wrote a very good book of consecration to St. Joseph. March 19th, we celebrate the Solemnity of St. Joseph, the Husband of Mary. May 1st, we celebrate St. Joseph, the Worker. And Wednesday is a day in which we try to honor St. Joseph every week. So let's honor St. Joseph today, and that's going to be, he's going to be very important in the topic that I'll be developing today. So I'd like to go through the first reading and the psalm. Point out an idea or two, then I'd like to move into the gospel. We've been reading the first reading in the Mass, we've been going through the prophets. We're going through the prophet Ezekiel, one of the four major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are the major prophets. And the essential theme of the first reading today is shepherds. And shepherds who have been pasturing themselves as well as neglecting their sheep. Obviously, this passage refers to the shepherds of the church. I invite all of you to eventually read the apostolic exhortation of Pope St. John Paul II on this topic. What the Holy Father will do, he'll call a synod, a group of bishops, priests, and theologians to study a specific topic, the burning theological topic of the day. John Paul II called several on the family, on work, on reconciliation and penance, but also he called one on the formation of priests. From this, there was a document that was issued, an apostolic exhortation. And the name of this is Pastores ad Vobis, which is basically the theme of the first reading today from Ezekiel. The theme of the document is the formation of priests. In earlier talks, I have given talks on this topic, but just to go through this briefly, the four basic pillars of formation of a future priest. And they would be, every future priest has to have a good, solid foundation in four areas. The human formation, the intellectual formation, the spiritual formation, and the pastoral formation. I repeat, the human formation, the intellectual formation, the spiritual formation, and the pastoral formation. A word in each. Human formation is forming the human virtues in the young man. Intellectual formation is the importance of study, of the branch of philosophy in the very heart of the formation of the future priest is theology. The spiritual formation would be the formation in the life of prayer, in union with God. And then the last would be that of pastoral formation, where you have the word pastor. This would be to form the future priest to be a good shepherd of souls and instill within him a great desire to be an instrument of salvation, that he should have pastoral zeal, have pastoral apostolic zeal to want to work to save souls. So the reading today speaks about shepherds that are shepherding themselves and they're neglecting the flock. Pray for priests that we would pasture our flock, that we would protect our sheep, that we would bring our sheep to the Good Shepherd himself. And the secret is this. If we want to be good shepherds, we want to be good shepherds of our sheep, then we have to be good sheep of the Good Shepherd. I repeat, if we want to be good shepherds to our sheep, then we have to be good sheep of the Good Shepherd. So pray for future priests, pray for young priests, pray for tempted priests, pray for good priests, pray for priests that we would be able to walk in the footsteps of Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. So the responsorial psalm, very appropriate for this biblical passage in Ezekiel, is the psalm of the Good Shepherd, Psalm 23. That is, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. A suggestion for all of us. Part and parcel of living is to experience both consolation and desolation in our lives. So part and parcel of life is to go through both consolation and desolation. When we are going through desolation, and this is mentioned in Psalm 23, even though I walk in the valley, the dark valley, walking through the dark valley is a biblical phrase which refers actually to the state of desolation. I fear no evil, for you are at my side. So a suggestion I would make when you're going through desolation, among many, would be to open up your Bible to Psalm 23. And if you have an image or picture of the Good Shepherd that I have here, this is one of my favorites, an image of the Good Shepherd, then very calmly to pray that Psalm 23. Maybe pray it once, twice, or even three times. And don't be surprised that after you finish praying the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, that cloud of desolation that cloud of desolation can easily be dissipated, dispersed, and simply disappear. Don't forget, my friends, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. All right, now I'd like to move into the gospel for today. And we've entered into the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 1 to 16. Jesus teaches us in many ways, but especially through parables. So today I'd like to just summarize the parable and invite you to utilize the biblical method of meditation that I've suggested over the past couple of years. Read, memorize the basic concept, the general understanding of the passage, the personal understanding of the passage, and then the practical application. So read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. There we have our five steps. So, it's a parable of a landowner who had a vineyard and he's looking for laborers, day laborers to work in his vineyard. So he goes out and he's hiring these men to work in his vineyard. So he goes out at 9 o'clock, gets some laborers, goes out at midday, gets some more laborers, goes out at early afternoon, gets some laborers, and late afternoon he gets some laborers to work in his vineyard. Then at the end of the day, he gives to each person a denarius, which was the agreement that the workers had made. Now, those who started working early in the morning were given one denarius, whereas those who were only working about an hour at the end of the day were given the same wage. So those who were working the whole day said, "That's not fair. We have borne the heat of the day, and you gave us the same wage as those who came at the end of the day." The landowner says, "Did we not make an agreement that you would receive a denarius? I can do with my money what I want. Or are you envious because I'm generous with my money?" So it is that the last will be first and the first will be last, as Jesus says, in concluding this parable. Now there's a lot that can be said in this parable, but the landowner is God, is Christ. The vineyard is the kingdom. And each one is called by the Lord to work in his vineyard. Some are called early, as others are called at midday. Still others are called to work later on in the day. Others maybe in the evening, but all are called to work in the vineyard of the Lord so that they will be able to attain their eternal salvation. I'd like to tell you a personal anecdote to kind of flesh this topic out. Remember as a child and as a teenager that during the course of the week, Monday through Friday, we'd go to school from 8 to 3:10. Then after school I'd be playing sports or working, one of those things, but especially playing sports. So after Monday through Friday, Saturday, I thought that I had the right to utilize Saturday in the way that I preferred, which would be to basically play sports, especially that of baseball. I really like to play sports. But my father had another idea. He would let us sleep in a little bit more on Saturday. Mom would prepare an abundant breakfast for us. Then Dad would get us to go out and we'd be working. He would sometimes say, well, you can work till midday and then after that you can play. But sometimes the work would extend not only midday, but even into the afternoon. And I felt in a certain sense this was an injustice. So I felt that I had earned my weekend because I was working hard during the course of the week, accomplishing my obligation, which was to study. But my father had another idea. So cutting grass, pulling out weeds, cleaning the garage, cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the house, all these different domestic chores were imposed upon me as well as my older brother. So in a certain sense, I started to really hate these Saturdays because it was not a day of rest and play for me, but it was a day of more work. So I felt, in a certain sense, this was an injustice. But now I look back in retrospect, and my older brother, who is a orthopedic surgeon in Florida, I'm pretty sure that he's been working for at least 35 years. I don't think that he's ever missed one day of work. And one of the reasons why is because in those child and teen years that our father insisted that we work Monday through Friday school, but then physical labor we'd be carrying out on the weekends, Saturday. And myself to this very day, I actually value work. I like to work, and I'm not afraid to put in a long day, working in the vineyard of the Lord. So my father passed away 5 years ago, and I'm eternally grateful for the fact that he instilled within us the work ethic. So let's have a conversation on the whole value of work. Says that God worked 6 days in the creation of the world, and on the seventh day he rested. Obviously, God's work is going to be different than our work. But even says that God worked, and then the seventh day he rested. So we're called to work. We're called to work in imitation of God himself. Now, what about work on a human level? Before the fall of Adam and Eve, Adam was in the garden with Eve. The type of work he was doing was not tedious, laborious, overly exerting, but rather it was a very pleasant, gentle work that he would carry out. Things changed. Things changed because we read in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were put to the test. The test was not to eat from the forbidden fruit. And we know that both Adam and Eve failed. They committed what is called original sin. Now, as a result of original sin, God meted out a triple chastisement, one on the serpent, the woman, and on the man. The serpent would have to crawl on the ground and eat dust. The woman, Eve means the mother of all the living, had as a chastisement to bring forth children. But not simply to bring forth children, but also to bring forth children in pain. Labor pains. In the moment of birth, but also during the course of the life of the child, mother suffers these constant labor pains. Now what about the man? What about the man? Adam, which means taken from the earth. Adam, which means taken from the earth. God had to mete out a punishment or chastisement on Adam, as well as all men. And it was this, that you will earn your bread from the sweat of your brow. You will earn your bread from the sweat of your brow. That's right. You'll earn your bread from the sweat of your brow. So there we have the whole concept of work and the laborious, the tedious, the wearing, the fatiguing concept of work that it entails with it a certain amount of suffering. But let's move from what might seem to be the negative interpretation of work to the positive interpretation of work. Now, before going through a whole list of positive fruits that stem from our work, I'd just like to mention there are different types of work. But I think we can boil down the types of work into three different categories. Physical, intellectual, and moral or spiritual. Physical, intellectual, and moral and spiritual. Physical labor is we're using our hands, we're using our body to do physical manual labor, which is good for us. Intellectual means we're utilizing our minds, our brains, our memory, our understanding, our imagination, utilizing the intellect that God has given us. Spiritual labor would be that of prayer or spiritual exercise, as St. Ignatius points out. So those are different manifestations of work. Now, what are the benefits that flow from constant and hard work? By means of an anecdote. I really love the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, the diary of divine mercy within my soul. There's a page in the diary where Faustina is in a convent and the devil appears. And the devil frenetically is running back and forth. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, frenetically. And Jesus tells Faustina to stop the devil and to ask the devil a question. And the question is, what is the means or tool that he uses to tempt people to fall into sin, to tempt the sister to fall into sin? So Faustina stops the devil and says, under obedience to Jesus, you must tell me what is the basic tool you use to get us to fall into sin. And the devil said right away, laziness. But I can't find any lazy nun in this convent. Laziness. But I cannot find any lazy nun in this convent. So, one of the many benefits, that flows from a constant hard work ethic is that we can avoid many, many temptations when we are engaged diligently in carrying out our work obligations. You probably know all of these, some of these proverbs, which are very useful. One is, idleness is the workshop of the devil. Laziness is the mother of all vices. Many proverbs are inspired by the whole work ethic. On the contrary, Saint Alberto Hurtado, Jesuit, went on to say that there are two places for us to rest. Two places for us to rest. The cemetery and heaven. That's right. Two places for us to rest. The cemetery and heaven. In the meantime, work. St. Peter Canisius, a Jesuit preacher, teacher, missionary, and doctor of the church, said, one occasion someone said, Father, slow down and rest. What? He said, I will have all eternity to rest in heaven. In the meantime, it's time to work. And St. John Bosco, who worked with the young people, establishing the oratory in the 19th century in the northern city of Turin, he went on to say that the vacation for his teenage boys was the harvest ground, the harvest ground of the devil. Saint Bonaventure will go on to say, when we're working hard, there's still a devil going after us. But when we have nothing to do, there is going to be a multitude, an army of devils going after us. I once heard a story of a desert father who was looking at the monks in the choir, and you could see all the different ways in which the monks were being tempted. One monk was distracted, another one was thinking about breakfast, another one had bad thoughts. But there was another monk that wasn't there. His cell was vacant because he never got out of bed. He never got out of bed, which took a lot of labor because he's very tired, but also he gave in to laziness. The devil was able to convince him not even to get out of bed, to do the sometimes the laborious work of praying. Sometimes prayer can be difficult. Remember when I arrived at Argentina, my superior's father, Antonio Fontana, he said that sometimes prayer can be like pushing a wheelbarrow filled with cement up a steep hill. I never forgot that. Sometimes prayer. Imagine you get a wheelbarrow filled with cement and you're pushing it up a steep hill. That can be very laborious, very tedious, very, very demanding. So we have to persevere. All right. Another benefit that comes from work is the following. And Jesus offers us another parable. And it's the parable of the talents. The master gave 5 talents, 3 talents, and 1 talent to his servants. The one that had 5 made another 5. The other had 3 made another 3. But the one had 1 just dug a hole and threw his talent into the ground. So what we're saying here is when we are working, then we're developing our God-given talents. We're cultivating our God-given talents. How sad it would be for us if at the end of our lives we go before the Lord on Judgment Day in which the Lord had given us 10 talents and we only used 2 or 3 of those talents. So the work that is given to us, the work that God has given to us, let us be thankful that He's given us work to do. And if you are able, if you're able to carry out some type of work, be thankful that God has given you sufficient lights and health to be able to carry out that work. I'll ask you a question. Do you prefer to be in the wheelchair or to be pushing the wheelchair? Imagine most of us prefer to be pushing the wheelchair than to be in the wheelchair. At times I suffer At times I suffer when I hear that men working, maybe in a factory or someplace where they've hurt their back, there's been some type of injury, they've got to get workers' compensation, which is fine. But also this man that's maybe 39 years of age, he's got 4 or 5 kids. And because of that, maybe he's working in a factory and he had to pick up, he's picking up heavy loads and he pulled his back out, so he's out of work for maybe a year or two. And there's a source of suffering in that man because he's not working. Remember what we said earlier in Genesis chapter 3, the woman will bring forth children with labor pains, whereas the man will earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. A man will earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Another benefit that comes from hard work is that by working hard, we're providing for our families. Now, let me try to specify something here. It might be in the case of some of you that your husband is out working in the office or in the fields, or maybe he's working in a factory, and he comes back exhausted after a long day's work. Maybe in your family, you're not working in a factory or the fields or a restaurant, but rather you're a mother, a spouse, and you're a homemaker. I repeat, you're a mother, you're a wife, and you are a homemaker. You should never underestimate the value of you working at home or you being a homemaker, as if you're a second-class citizen. Quite the contrary. Your work is that of being a homemaker and maintaining your home, your children, and your family. That's a type of work. Remember when I was being brought up and raised as a child and as a teenager, my father was always working from morning to night. Basically, he was out working and then traveling back to the house. But my father and mother, once they get married, their decision was to have mom stay at home to watch over the children. And they would end up having 4 teenagers at the same time, and I was one of them. His dad would be working outside day all the way till night to be able to provide for us. However, I'd have to be very sincere. Mom would get up a little bit earlier than Dad and often go to bed a little bit later. So it's all the family chores. So what I'm highlighting, because I think I'm talking a lot of people in this perseverance class, many of you women, and some of you are working, cleaning homes or in an office, or you work in a restaurant or maybe in a school, many different places where we can be working. But I don't think that we should relegate to a secondary place the hard, demanding, strenuous, tedious, sometimes monotonous reality of being a homemaker and maintaining the home in order for you homemakers. This should really give you encouragement. Saint Joseph and Jesus went to work. They went to the carpenter shop. And the day was probably long, hard work, returning in the evening. Whereas, like many of you women and wives and mothers, Mary, the Mother of God, Mary, the Mother of God, spent the whole of her day at the home of Nazareth. That's right. She spent the whole of her day at the home of Nazareth. So in imitation of Mary, my friends, the key to holiness and sanctification is not simply the nobility of our work, but work has a certain nobility with it. Writing a book or digging a hole, it's work. But in imitation of Mary the worker, the key to holiness, and we're all called to become saints by means of our work. The key to holiness by means of our work is to try to carry out the ordinary obligations of our daily work with extraordinary love. I'd like to repeat that. We're talking about the sanctification of work today, and many of you are at home, in imitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Nazareth. And that is to try to strive to carry out, the ordinary obligations of our daily work with extraordinary love. That is the secret of holiness. And that is the secret of the very well-known and loved modern saint, and her name is Saint Therese. Sanctity does not depend so much on the greatness of the work itself, but the love that we place in our work. Doing the ordinary things of daily life with an extraordinary love. There we have the key to holiness. That's exactly what the Blessed Virgin Mary did, and which many of you are called to do the same thing. None of us are going to make it to the front page of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, the Boston Globe. We're not going to make it to the front page. For me, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. But God, the gospel today, God is going to pay each and every one of us according to what we've done with our lives. I really like what Father Alberto Tabo says, and I've said it once, I'll say it again, there are two places to rest. There are two places to rest. The cemetery and heaven. In the meantime, let's work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as St. Paul says. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So Wednesday, which we honor St. Joseph, we have a beautiful picture of St. Joseph the worker here in my studio. St. Joseph is working in his carpenter shop. The child Jesus is present there. St. Joseph has a hammer. Let's turn to good St. Joseph. Let's turn to the Holy Family and pray to them that they'll help us to appreciate and value the work that God has given to us. Not to see the work so much as a curse, even though as a result of original sin, it's hard at times. But let's see the work as a means by which we can sanctify ourselves, we can serve others, we can practice charity, and as St. Paul says, let us work out our salvation in fear and in trembling. So I'd like to end with a beautiful prayer that I say often, and you can say it with me if you know it. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, make my heart like unto yours. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I breathe forth my soul unto thee. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.